Oh, just an Uno. But you're welcome to sing along. I still need to reset this clock up here. I meant to do it this afternoon, and I forgot. Well, if you would, stand if you can. Welcome those of us online and those of us here. We're going to start out by singing Living by Faith. You can think of a pick of him if you want. I care not today what the morrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in his great love. From all harm safe in his sheltering arm, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. I know that he safely will carry me through, no matter what evils betide. Why should I then care, though the tempest may blow, if Jesus walks close to my side? Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in his great love. From all harm safe in his sheltering arm, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. Our Lord will return to this earth some sweet day. Our troubles will then all be o'er. The Master so gently will lead us away beyond that blessed heavenly shore. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in his great love. From all harm safe in his sheltering arm, I'm living by faith and feel no faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in his great love. From all harm safe in his sheltering arm, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one.
Oh, yeah.
As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me, leads me safely through the sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. This would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day, to help me do the best I can. For I need thy light to guide me day and night. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand. I need you every hour. kingdom land. Protect me by thy power. Hear my feeble plea. O Lord, look down on me. When I kneel in prayer, I hope to meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Let me travel in the light divine that I may see the blessed way. Keep me that I may be holy thine and sing redemption song one day. I will be a soldier brave and true and ever firmly take a stand. As I onward go and daily meet the foe, blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand. I need you every hour. Pilgrim land, protect me by thy power. Hear my feeble plea, O Lord, look down on me. When I kneel in prayer, I hope to meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. When I kneel in prayer, I hope to meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat, of peace on earth, goodwill to men. I thought how as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day. A voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Amen. We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again. King forever, ceasing never, over us all to reign. Oh, Star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Frankincense to offer I have, incense owns a deity nigh. Prayer and praising, all men raising, worship him God on high. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume breathes a life of gathering doom. Sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in the stone cold tomb. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Glorious now, behold him arise, King and God and sacrifice. Alleluia, alleluia, earth to heaven replies. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody got a pick of him this evening? I'll Fly Away? That's a good one. I'll Fly Away. I almost remember what page number that is. Seven, seven, nine. I'll Fly Away. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. All fly away, O glory, all fly away in the morning. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, all fly away. When the shadows of this life have gone, all fly away. Like a bird from prison bars has flown, all fly away. All fly away, O glory, all fly away in the morning. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, all fly away. Just a few more weary days and then all fly away. To a land where joy shall never end, all fly away. All fly away, O glory, all fly away in the morning. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, all fly away. Amen. Any others? Never Grow Old. All right. That one, is that one in the hymnal? I'm pretty sure we have it on the big screen. That's okay. Yeah, we have it on the big screen. We can sing it. Yeah, I don't see it in the hymnal. That's all right. Yep. It's not in the ends for never grow old. It might be in a land where we'll never go. It might be in the eyes. No? Okay. If you've seen it on the... Okay. You can try searching for old in the search box in the top left. And I can try to find the lyrics on phone too. Ah, there you go. Where we'll never grow old. Okay. We all had it wrong. Praise the Lord. All right. I have heard of a land on the far away strand, this a beautiful home of the soul, built by Jesus on high. There we never shall die. This the land where we'll never grow old. Never grow old, never grow old, in the land where we'll never grow old. Never grow old, never grow old, in the land where we'll never grow old. When our work here is done, and the life's crown is won, and our troubles and trials are o'er, all our sorrow will end, and our voices will blend with the loved ones who've gone on before. Never grow old, never grow old, in the land where we'll never grow old. Never grow old, never grow old, in the land where we'll never grow old. Amen.
Check one. You just leave it, and then when we spring forward, it'll be right. You won't have to switch it back. Hey. And it's right again. Yeah, man. Yeah, a broken clock is right twice a day. Amen, amen. All right, we got any praises out there? Oh, before we do the praises, I've got some great truths that adults have learned. Great truths that adults have learned. Are you ready for these?
Ready.
Raising teenagers is like nailing Jell-O to a tree. Amen? Number two, wrinkles don't hurt. Right? You got that? Number three, families are like fudge, mostly sweet with a few nuts. Number four, today's mighty oak is just yesterday's nut that held its ground. Amen? Number five, laughing is good exercise. It's like jogging on the inside. And then number six, middle age is when you choose your cereal, not for the toy, but for the fiber. Amen? All right, all right. Okay, praises. What do we got out there? Anybody? Anybody got a praise? Yes. Very thankful for what now? Oh, your wood stove. Okay. All right. Amen. So you heat your home with a wood stove? Oh, my goodness. Okay. Wood stove. The wood stove, baby.
Just don't tell everybody.
All right, other praises. Anybody else?
Praise the Lord for the word this morning.
All right, amen, man.
Very well spoken.
Very good. Word this morning. Yeah, visitors. Amen. Jesse and Chelsea. Jesse and Chelsea. All right, what else? Anything else? All right, prayer requests. School kids, okay. Yeah, idle hands, man, get you in trouble. All right, school kids, what else? Kevin? Yes, sir. What else, what else? Anybody else? Yeah, Ron? Uh-huh. Suicide, yeah. Do you know his name? Harley? Harley. So Harley's kids. Harley's kids. Man, oh man. Okay, what else? Yes, Alita? Larry, okay, Larry Field. All right. What else, what else? John's back. That's right. Justin Heibarger. And Fred Redmond's having surgery in the morning. Yeah. Right. Fred Redmond's surgery. Okay. Justin Heibarger, Fred Redmond. Jennifer, you have one in the back? So we're praying just for a harsh winter that people would survive it. Yeah. All right, all right. What else? Anybody else got a prayer for Chris? Traveling Mercies, okay. All right. Yeah, Stephanie's cough, man. All right. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Amen? All right. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, and we thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessings of it, Lord. We thank you for the crispness in the air. And Father God, as we come to you tonight, we lift these praises up to you. We praise you for the opportunity, Lord, and the privilege and the ability how you bless us to keep warm. And Lord, to have the apparatus, the machines, where the wood stove or central heat and air or whatever it be, Lord. Thank you that you give us the provision to stay warm. We just praise you and thank you for that tonight. We do thank you for your word. We praise you for your word, Lord. We're thankful that we can be back in it this evening. And, Lord, we're thankful for visitors this morning, Jesse and Chelsea. We praise you that, Lord, that you sent them here another week. We just pray if this be the place where you would have them plant, that, God, they would be led of the Holy Spirit to join here, Father God. So we just thank you for visitors. Lord, as we think about our prayer request tonight, we lift up all our school kids that are on Christmas break. Lord, we pray that they would not make poor decisions, but would make good decisions during their Christmas break. Lord, keep them safe, healthy. Watch over them. Just help them, Lord, during this time of being off from school. We lift up Kevin to you tonight. Pray, Lord, you help him with his addictions. And, Father God, we pray you give him victory. Give him one day at a time, sometimes 1 minute at a time. But, Lord, we pray you help him, strengthen him, undergird him. We lift up Harley's kids tonight, Lord, the suicide victim. We don't know where Harley is, but, Lord, we know where his kids are. His kids need comfort, and his kids need help, and his kids need prayer. So we're lifting Harley's kids up, Lord. Help them come to grips with the loss of their dad. And, Lord, we pray you'd put Christian folks around them to encourage them and help them during this time. We lift up Stephanie's dad to you, Larry Field, my father-in-law. We pray for his health. Pray, Lord, that you heal his neck, get his body ready for that triple bypass surgery, Lord. And we just pray you help him not fall or just have any more passing out spells, Lord. So we lift Larry up to you tonight. We pray for Ronnie Holman and his cancer. Pray that you might heal him, Lord, of this cancer and remove it from his body and give him health. And, Lord, give him stamina to keep on keeping on. Lift up John to you tonight. We pray for his back, Lord. We're praying for relief there and that you might remove that pain and discomfort. So, Lord, we're praying for Brother John tonight in his back in that situation. We lift up Ronnie Vaculik, and we pray for his legs and his feet and his ears. And, Lord, we just pray that you might ease his discomfort and pain and what he's struggling with. Give him the grace to go through what he's going through, Lord, with his feet and his legs and his ears. And, Father God, we pray there might be some answers as he gets results from tests and sees different doctors. So, Lord, we just lift in that situation up to you. Praying for Justin Heibarger tonight. We're praying for his situation with his thyroid and this duct that's connected to it and infected. Lord, we pray for healing. Pray that the antibiotics would do what they're supposed to do and would remove that infection, eradicate that infection from his body and this part of his neck, and the swelling would go down. And, Lord, you just bring healing to him. We lift up Fred Redmond. We pray for safety for Ann as she drives Fred in the morning and getting him there to the surgical center. We pray for Fred, Lord, that he come through the surgery fine and that he recover and not have any infections or any sicknesses because of this surgery. So, Lord, we're lifting Fred up to you this evening. Lord, we realizing that we're in a harsh winter as we talking about this here in the middle of December, coming up on Christmas. And, Lord, many people around the world are not equipped with the ability, with the fuel, with the appliances to heat their homes, the stoves to heat their homes. And so, Lord, we're just praying that you'd make a way for the most vulnerable to find shelter and to be able to find heat in this harsh winter that we're experiencing this year, Lord. Watch over these folks. Be with them, especially the folks in Ukraine, Lord, and in the midst of this war. We pray that you'd really come through for those folks as well. And then, Lord, all those folks that are traveling, we're lifting them up and praying for traveling mercies. We're praying for safety on the road. We're praying for good visits and then, Lord, a safe travel back home. So, Lord, be with those folks as they travel. And then Stephanie, Lord, we continue to pray for her and this cough that she's been experiencing. We pray that you would help that inflammation, that irritation in her lungs heal up and go away and be done with and just get her back on the path to healing. So, Lord, we lift these things up to you tonight. We praise you tonight for your word. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said. All right, we in the same passage that we were this morning. We'll not read all of it. We started in Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, and we read all the way through 25. So we read a good old chunk of scripture, but we will pick it up here, let's say, oh my goodness, we'll pick it up here about verse 18. So I invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God, and we'll read Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 18, and we'll take it through verse 25. All right. If you found that this morning, it's nighttime out there. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 18 through 25. Have you got it? Those of you with us online, Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. Good to have you tonight, online folks. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. Zechariah said to the angel, "How will I know this for certain? For I'm an old man and my wife is advanced in years." Right? That's what he said. You all right, brother?
Yep.
Amen. The angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time." The people were waiting for Zacharias and were wondering at his delay in the temple. But when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. When the days of his priestly service were ended, he went back home. After these days, Elizabeth, his wife, became pregnant. She kept herself in seclusion for 5 months, saying, "This is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked with favor upon me to take away my disgrace upon men." Amen. Thank you all for standing in honor the reading of the Word of God, and may he add his tremendous blessing to it. Now, the story of the most uncommon event that the world has ever known, the coming of the Messiah and Savior of the world, begins, as we talked about this morning, with common folks. Amen? Common people. God chooses the common to confound the wise. That's what we said. If common represents the people God used, perfect represents God's timing. Amen? His timing. When Luke begins the story in Luke chapter 1, it has been 400 years since there was any word from God as far as a prophetic word. It has been 500 years since the visit of an angel. It has been over 500 years since the isolated miracle of the fiery furnace during the time of Daniel. And it has been 800 years since miracles were frequent in the time of Elijah and Elisha. So get the picture. God has not acted. He's not spoken or sent an angel in centuries. Heaven has been silent for a long time. We call it the intertestamental period. So in this passage, the silence of heaven is what? The silence of heaven is broken. The passage is like the launch pad. It is like the launch pad for the great saga of redemption surrounding the arrival of the Messiah and Savior. This passage is the launch pad for an almost endless stream of miracles that go all the way through the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ and to the apostles. This passage, Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 25, has the simplest beginning with a common guy, Zacharias, and his wife Elizabeth as the main characters. Now, as we look at this in more detail this evening than we did this morning, we first see Zacharias and Elizabeth, we see both of their, what? Well, their personal righteousness. Look at verses 5 through 7. "In the days of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. He had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both advanced in years." Zacharias and Elizabeth came from priestly background. We talked about that a little bit this morning. They were true believers in the living God. Amen for that. They were saints of God. They had received salvation by faith. They were looking towards. We're looking back at the cross. They were looking towards it. They had received righteousness from God granted to them by their faith, and they were walking in faith in obedience to the law of God. They were faithful. Now, this is what's cool. This is what's great. They were faithful in spite of having no child. They didn't just go, "Well, man, God's not blessed us. I guess we're done with this. We're going to walk away." No, they were faithful in spite of having no child. Now, is that a big deal? That's a huge deal. In the Jewish culture, being childless was considered a curse from God. And yet, having this stigmatism upon them and upon their marriage and Elizabeth upon her, they were still faithful to God's word. Amen? That's a big deal, right? And they bore that stigma and that disgrace of all that, but they did so with faithful dignity. We see his personal and her personal righteousness, but also tonight we see his priestly responsibility. Look at verses 8 through 10. Now it happened that while he was performing his priestly service before God in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were in prayer outside at the hour of the incense offering. Now Zacharias, as we mentioned this morning, was in the order of Abijah, one of the 24 orders of the priesthood named after the grandsons of Aaron. The priests would serve what? They would serve 2 weeks a year in Jerusalem. It was his time, so he was what? He was in Jerusalem at the temple doing his priestly duty, doing his J-O-B, man. I mean, he had to go to Jerusalem. There he is. He's there. He's doing what he's supposed to be doing. He was chosen by lot to a special task, and that was to go inside the holy place, not inside the Holy of Holies, but inside the holy place in the temple to the altar of incense just outside the veil of the Holy of Holies. Are you still with me? Amen? Now, the altar of incense, what was it, Pastor? How often did they do it? What's going on here? Well, the priest offered incense on the altar of incense twice a day. Once at the time of the morning sacrifice and once at the time of the evening sacrifice. This was a great, great privilege for a priest selected by lot. And because of the process, some priests, talked about how many of them there were, a bunch of them, right? Because of the process, some priests were never selected. And once you had been chosen by lot, you could not do this specific thing again. You're one and done. There ain't no repeats, right? You're not going to get to do this for the rest of your life. So if you got chosen by lot, this was the high point of your priestly duty right here. This would have been his most proudest moment. Man, I'm offering incense. Wow, this is a big deal, right? Amen? To go into the holy place and to have the privilege of putting the incense on the altar of incense, because you see, that was as close to the presence. He's not the high priest, he's just a priest. That was as close to the presence of God as he would ever get, since the altar of incense was just outside the veil that separated the holy place from the holy holies. You getting the gravity of this? It's huge. Only the high priest could go further into the Holy of Holies, and that was prescribed only once a year. And so a common guy chosen to do an incredible thing, which is the pinnacle of his working priestly career. So into the temple, Zacharias went, right? I'm sure he had a spring in his step, had a little anxiety in his stomach. It's a big deal, big day. Right? He was not supposed to stay as long as he stayed. I mean, this just go in, do what you're supposed to be doing, get out. He had a little bowl full of burning coals from the brazen altar, the altar of burnt offering. Remember, we've talked about that in the book of Leviticus, burnt offering. He took it in. He dumped the coals in the altar of incense. He spread them around very, very, very carefully. Get it right. And then after that was done, he would then pour the incense over the coals, and a great cloud of smoky incense would arise, symbolizing the prayers of the people. While he was doing what he was prescribed to be doing, the people were outside the holy place in the different courts of the temple doing exactly what he was symbolizing with the incense. It's a beautiful thing how they did it. They were praying, the people would be praying, in a prostrate position. They'd be on their faces, on their knees and faces before Almighty God. Now, we see his priestly responsibility. Thirdly tonight, we see his prophetic revelation. We picked that up in verses 11 through 17. Look at it with me. When they heard that he was a... I'm sorry, am I in the... How did that happen, man? The wrong passage. Let me get back where I'm supposed to be. Verse 11, Luke chapter 1. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense. Zacharias was troubled when he saw the angel. And what does your Bible say? My Bible says, fear gripped him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. Notice what it says there, the spirit and power of Elijah. To turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Amen? Beautiful thing. We see his prophetic revelation. An angel. What's going on, preacher? Just what the word says. An angel came, took a form that was visible for him, for Zacharias to see, stood in a place that Zacharias could identify, right? To the right of the altar of incense. There he is, an angel. Fear, as we read, gripped him. He had a heavenly visitor. He probably thought, did I do something wrong? I'm about to die. They told me how to do it. I've heard how to do it. I rehearsed over and over again. I've rehearsed all week how to do it. Did I get a coal wrong? I thought I got all the coals just right. I don't see any incense spilled. Why is there an angel standing here? I bet it was a big deal. I bet it was a big deal, right? He doesn't know what to make of all this because Zacharias knew it had been centuries since an angel had appeared. This would have to be a miracle. And Zacharias is right in the middle of it. This would be the first miracle recorded in the history of God's unfolding redemption since the fiery furnace of Daniel over 500 years ago. So the silence was over for Israel. Amen? And the shame was soon to be over for Zacharias and Elizabeth. Reminiscent of Abraham and Sarah, they were going to have a child late in life. Now, based off of verse 7, look at verse 7. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both advanced in years. Based off of verse 7, they are at least in their 60s, if not in their 70s, or perhaps even in their 80s, because there was no retirement age for priests. You were a priest until you were no more, right? And so their stigma, their disgrace was going to end. And they were going to be a complete family, right? They were going to have that child. The angel tells this incredible revelation from God to Zacharias. This is going to come. He's going to bring you joy, and he's going to bring your family and your friends joy, and he's going to bring a message of rejoicing of the whole nation of Israel because they are going to repent and they are going to come back to God. This child, basically what the angel was saying, is going to point to the Messiah that is going to be the Savior of the world. Consequently, the joy is going to extend to the ends of the earth and the end of time. In other words, Zacharias, your boy, he's going to be the forerunner of the Messiah, a true prophet of God. Your boy, he's going to come in the same power that Elijah came. Your boy, he's going to have a powerful impact on Israel. Zacharias, your son, he's going to be a man filled with the Holy Spirit, even from the time he was in the womb. This son that they were going to have was going to be extraordinary. He would have the greatest privilege imaginable, the greatest privilege that any earthly man could ever hope for, a privilege that no one had ever experienced. John would have the privilege of being the first person to publicly identify the Messiah. The prophets of old had talked about the Messiah, but none could ever point to him. John would say, pointing to Jesus one day, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John chapter 1, verse 29. What a privilege we share with John today. What an incredible privilege to sing about the Messiah, to preach about the Messiah, to proclaim about the Messiah as a church, as an individual. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, as we kind of round this out this evening, we see Zacharias's, we see his faithless response, which shows what, preacher? Shows how human he is, right? Amen? Shows how frail he is as a human being. We see his faithless response. Zacharias said to the angel, verse 18, Zacharias said to the angel, "How will I know this for certain? For I'm an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." Now, Zacharias had been praying for a child, and God sends him an angel on the highest point of his working career to announce to him that he's going to have one. And in the midst of all that, Zacharias doesn't believe it. He doesn't believe it. In the long past, if we look back past from this situation here that we have in Luke's gospel, Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, Gideon in Judges chapter 6, Hezekiah in 2 Kings chapter 20, these three men, they also asked God for more explanation when God had spoken to them things that were hard to understand. But what you got to realize, none of these three men was as overtly unbelieving as Zacharias. Now, Zacharias was a good man. Zacharias was saved, I believe, child of God. But this angelic announcement was just too much. Just too much. He just could not believe it. He needed stronger evidence than a word from God. Well, friend, how much stronger evidence do you get than a word from God? Yeah. I mean, how much stronger evidence? Look at Luke 16 with me. Luke 16. Let's pick it up, verse 27. That'll be good. 16:27, are you there? And he said, "Then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, in order that he may warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment." But Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." But he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." But he said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead." Zacharias did not believe in the word of God. I cannot tell you how many people I've met through the years. Some of them, I believe, are saved, but struggle with believing what this Bible says. That blows my mind. It either is or ain't the Word of God. I mean, so if it's not, what parts of it are not? How do you decide? Ooh, maybe, what about that gospel? Something up with that gospel? Oh, no, the gospel's legit. The gospel's right. The gospel's true. Well, the gospel's true. The whole Bible's about the gospel. Points to the gospel. Explains the gospel. Illuminates the gospel. So, come on now. Believe that word. Amen. Zacharias did not believe the word of God. Now, as we're motoring through this passage this evening, we see his punishing reproof. Verses 19 through 20, Luke chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. The angel answered and said to him, "I'm Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. I've been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not what? You did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time. Gabriel communicates basically, son, who do you think you're talking to? Who do you think? Gabriel is a cherub archangel, a cherub archangel. There's only two left that we know of after Lucifer's fall. You don't get any higher and closer to God than Gabriel. Gabriel means mighty one of God. Gabriel is God's go-to big message angel. Gabriel, I got a big message. You want to share it? Gabriel's like, I'm there, Lord. Where am I going? Right? He's the go-to guy. He is the go-to guy. Daniel 9, Gabriel. This passage, Gabriel. Verse 26, talking to Mary. Guess who it might be? Guess who it is? Yeah, there you go. The message, good news, is about the gospel. It's about the gospel. Gabriel at least takes his speech. Now, some scholars think that perhaps the angel also took his hearing, because the Bible says mute, right? He's mute. Commentators are divided on whether or not he could hear. But we can say with all certainty the punishment is that he could not speak about what he had seen. So God shut him up. And that was an everyday, every moment reminder of his sin of unbelief. And when people said, what happened to you? What happened to you? And he would begin to try to, and he couldn't speak. He would then have to somehow communicate what happened to him. Write it down, act it out, whatever. Right? Now, I was made mute by an angel. Right? Somehow he would communicate that. Because I did not believe when God spoke to me. Right? You feeling it? For a priest, his normal duty was to teach the Old Testament. For a priest, his normal duty was to tell people about God and to give them counsel and wisdom based off that word. That is what a priest did during most of the year. He could not do anything until his son was born, but bear the shame of his unbelief. Now, you say, Pastor, where's the grace in all this? I thought God was graceful. I thought there was love in God. I mean, doesn't God love John? Or doesn't he love Zacharias? Well, yes, he does. Well, Pastor, where's the grace? Don't you see the grace? The grace is that his condition is temporary. Zacharias is going to be delivered from his shame, right? That boy's going to be born. John's going to be born. He's going to get what? He's going to get his voice back. Now, God is sovereign, and he will do his plan, and it does not rise and fall on the faith of men. Do you believe that? He's going to do his plan, and it does not rise and fall on the faith of men. Now, do you believe that? Yes? That's one person. Anybody else believe that? Okay, there's two people, right? You believe that? Amen. What changes is not the plan. What changes is not the plan, but your part in God's unfolding plan. Faithless people, people that do not exhibit faith, do not change God's plan. They just forfeit the blessedness of doing their part in what God would want them to do. Does that make sense? So, what do we want to continually do? What do we want to continually do? We want to continually learn to hear God's Word. Continually learn to hear God's Word. If I may conclude with this, let me try to make it as crystal clear as I most possibly can. You will never be given the great privilege of proclaiming God's Word if you're not willing to hear His word with faith. You got to hear it with faith. You got to believe His word. Well, how much of it? All of it. Great redemptive acts will occur in God's time with or without your faith. We don't slow God down. We don't trip God up. Our blessing is to get to be a part of what God's doing. And the only way we get to be a part is through faith. Amen? Is through faith. So, has Jesus come? Yes. Has Jesus been born? Absolutely. Has Jesus lived a perfect life? You know He has. Has Jesus gone to the cross? Absolutely. Has He been buried, resurrected? Uh-huh. Is He in the presence of His Father making intercession on behalf of us? You better believe it. Is He coming back? Uh-huh. You say, preacher, man, there's so many people that don't believe. There's so many people that don't believe. He's still coming back, whether they believe it or not. He's still coming back. Yeah, just like His first advent, He's on His way, friend. He's on His way. Amen, amen. Recognize it. Believe it. Have faith. And that's where you experience the blessedness. Faith in what God's Word says, right? We think about these folks that have taken their lives this holiday season from Thanksgiving on. Some have taken loved ones' lives before they've taken their own life. It's just horrific. There's a lack of faith in there somewhere. Somewhere there's a hopelessness. And people that have faith in God's Word, they may not have much, but you know what they do have? They have hope. They have hope. So faith. Yes, yes. Amen. Let's bow for a word of prayer. We'll be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You tonight. We thank You, Lord, for Your word. We praise You and thank You for what You're doing. Lord, we pray for these families that are struggling, and we pray for these folks that are in the midst of emotional or spiritual distress. We pray that somehow, some way, Lord, You would send people along their path to encourage them, to speak words of love and truth in such a way that they might experience a glimmer of hope and have just a little bit of faith. Lord, we're praying for just a little bit of faith for a lot of people to get them through this time so they not harm others and not harm themselves, and so they get an opportunity to live another year. So, Father God, we love You. We praise You. Thank You for this time of the season. And in the midst of some of the bad news that we hear, may we continue to rejoice in the greatest news the world has ever heard. That Jesus has been born in Bethlehem of a virgin. So, Lord, we thank You for the peace that brings. And we thank You for the hope that represents. And we pray that more and more people would have faith in that truth. It's in Your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right, you folks are dismissed.